With that, it is our honor to invite Sheikh Abdul Majid from Nigeria, who is going to be speaking to us tonight about the Husseini movement versus the Zionist movement. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه الشريف السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ورحمة الله وبركاته يقول سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه إن الملوك إذا دخلوا قرية أفسدوها وجعلوا أعزة أهلها أذلة وكذلك يفعلون Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. After the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Islamic system and the Islamic leadership gradually began to change from its previous state to monarchy. And this change became more manifested, apparent, and more dangerous during the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because before Muawiyah's death, he began his campaign for his son Yazid. He began to lobby for his son to become the next king after him. And then he started going up everywhere sending letters. During then, The problem of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not leadership, was not to become the Khalifa. Imam Hussein alayhi salam had no issue for Mu'ab Yazid to be the Khalifa. But the issue then was that if Yazid should be allowed to remain or to take over from his father, to sit on the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the consequences would be very devastated on the Islamic Ummah. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam saw it to be a responsibility that he stand up to let the people know the danger that was hovering around their heads. And then Imam Hussein alayhi salam started his movement of awareness. Yazid, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam said that, Misli la yubayi'u misla Yazid, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not addressing the physical person, the physical appearance of the person called Yazid, but he was addressing his behavior, his attitude, and what he stood for. So this Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, Misli la yubayi'u misla Yazid. Because Yazid was somebody that was known for immorality. He was known for everything but morality. Yazid was somebody that was known for not... It was like he never even believed in the message of Islam. Then if somebody like that should be allowed to sit on the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with what would he manage the affairs of Muslimin? How would he preside over the affairs of the Muslimin? So this was the concern of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when he stood against Yazid. Not because Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to be the Khalifa. No, but because he saw what would happen if Yazid should be allowed to sit on the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he stood to warn the people. He stood to recharacterize the slow dying consciousness of the people. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood for his movement. You see, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as we've just said it, I had no issue with Yazid being the Khalifa, because there is a verse in the Quran, both the Shia Mufassirun and the Sunni Mufassirun, especially in the book, the Tafsir of Fakhr al-Razi, they all narrated this tradition, this narration about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a dream. And in the dream, he saw monkeys leaping and jumping around and over his minbar. And in that narration, the narrator said that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the dream, he was never seen in the happy mood as he used to be before the dream. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that after his demise, a group of people would take over this mantle of leadership and they would change the course of Islam. And then when it would get to the peak where the consciousness of the people had died, somebody would need to stand up to awaken the consciousness of the people. And this Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood for. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he stood to warn the people that they should be aware of the person of Yazid, that they shouldn't allow Yazid to sit on the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was also doing a favor to the people, not just about politics, but also for the welfare of the people. Because when the consequences would start, the people would be the first to feel the heat. And exactly as Imam Hussein alayhi salam had warned the people, exactly what he warned the people of happened when Yazid finally sat on the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when I say the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I do not mean this minbar I sit on. I mean that leadership. When Yazid finally took over the leadership, to preside over the affairs of the Muslims, they all felt the heat, as Lady Bilkis has said that inna al-muluka idha dakhalu qaryatan afsaduha wa ja'alu 'izzata ahliha adhilla wa kadhalika yaf'alun. That verily kings, when they enter a town, they ruin it, and they will turn the noblest of the people of the town to become low, and surely and thus they always do. So if Yazid should be allowed, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew and understood from the beginning, because he had this basira, and he knew that if Yazid should be allowed to sit on the mantle of the leadership, to take over that leadership, definitely he would ruin the Islamic Ummah. And he would make the noblest of the Muslims to become low, just as those before him, his predecessors, also did. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam started to warn the people. But when the people did not heed to the warning of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were the one that felt the heat when Yazid finally took over that leadership. Because Yazid successfully, he stayed on that leadership for 3 years. In the first year, he killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He used the first year to attack the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, killing Imam Hussein, killing Abu Fadl Abbas, killing the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including the children. And the second year, he used it to attack Medina. And when he attacked Medina, according to Ibn Kathir and also Hajar al-Asqalani, they said that the issue that the people of Medina had with Yazid, that made Yazid to send his armies from Sham under the command of Muslim bin Aqaba to Medina, to attack Medina. They took over Medina for 3 days. The issue that the people of Medina had, or rather, the problem that Yazid had with the people of Medina, was that the people of Medina, even though Muawiyah, the father of Yazid, was successful in making the people of Medina to pay their allegiance to Yazid. But later, when the people now saw the true image of Yazid, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam had already warned them, that Yazid, according to Hajar al-Asqalani, that the people of Medina, they complained about Yazid to be a drunkard. So they, to them, how could a drunkard preside over the affairs of the Muslimin? And according to Ibn Kathir in Bidayah wa Nihaya, the people did not only see that Yazid was a drunkard, but they also see Yazid to represent everything but morality. He represented everything that Islam has warned against. Then the people of Medina started to withdraw back. So they started to withdraw back their allegiance from Yazid. So this is the sole reason why Yazid sent his armies from Sham under the command of Muslim bin Aqaba to attack Medina. And they took over Medina for 3 days. And in these 3 days, they killed 700 Hufaz of Quran and they killed 80 of the Sahaba. They even raped the women. This is what Yazid represents. And in the third year that Yazid took over the power, he attacked Mecca. He destroyed Kaaba. So this is what exactly Imam Hussein alayhi salam had warned the people about Yazid. That the person like Yazid should not be allowed to take over the mantle of the leadership, should not be allowed to preside over the affairs of the Muslimin. Because إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرِيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا عِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَ إِمَامُ حُسَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَامَ عَلَى عِلْمٍ بِأَنَّ الْيَزِيدِ إِذَا تَرَبَّى عَلَى مِنْبَرِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم أَفْسَدَهُ وَيَجْعَلُ عِزَّةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَذِلَّةً كَمَا فَعَلَ أَبُوهُ. Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew this. Then he warned the people, but the people never heed to his warning. And they faced the consequences of the warning of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood for. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew that definitely he was putting his life on the line. And he was ready to sacrifice his life because he knew that it is worthful for him to stand against Yazid and die in defending justice and also in fighting against injustice. Because as Imam Hussein alayhi salam has already taught us in Karbala, that there is no life living under injustice. And it is all worth of it for you to die defending justice and defending the oppressed. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood for that. Now, the history of Imam Hussein alayhi salam should not be confined to that time. We should not deal or relate with the history of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as if it is a history or story we just tell ourselves and that is the end of it. But it is a story. It is a history that we must always return to learn from, because the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a madrasa, is a school of thought. And as long as injustice prevails on this earth, the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam would continue to remain relevant. And how it will remain relevant is that when we deal with it and relate with it as though it is a school of thought, that we always return to learn how to relate and how to do when we fight against injustice. And when we look at the time we live today, we see that injustice is prevailing over the world. Because definitely presently now, we have the Muluk. They have come together and they want to preside over the affairs of the world. They want to change everything in the world to their selfish interest. We have all of them. We have them. We have the America. We have the American. We have the Israelis. We have the Europeans. We have all of them coming together. The France. They've all come together to preside over the affairs of the world. And we know that if they should be allowed to continue like that, they will definitely ruin everything. And they will change the noblest of the people of the world to become low if they should be allowed. And now we must stand, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam also stood then, to tell them that no, there is no way. We will not allow you to preside over the affairs of the world. And it is worthful even if we should sacrifice our lives. And presently, when we are facing this, when we are faced with this challenge, when the Americans, all of them today, are supporting the entity called the Zionists to take over the lands of the Palestinians and to commit genocide in Palestine. We are seeing them, what they are doing today in Gaza and every other places in Palestine. When they do that today, the whole world is classic. The whole world, looking at this, we have three classes of people. We have three types of people today in the world. We have those that say that no, we have those that repeat the same slogan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, those that maintain the same stance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he said that mithli la yubayi'u misla Yazid, that my likes will never give bay to the likes of Yazid, we still have those today that say that my likes will never normalize relationship with America or Israel, no matter how what it costs. Even if we need to sacrifice our lives and everything we have, it is worthful, because Imam Hussein alayhi salam had sacrificed everything he had for this same cause. So this group, this is their slogan, we will never stand to normalize relationship with the kind of America and the kind of Zionist. And in the other side, we have the other tide, the other sect. And to them, they normalize relationship, because they do not have shame, because they do not have honor. They've sold their honor. They've filled their tummies, their bellies with haram. As Imam Hussein alayhi salam had said in Karbala that, قَدْ مَلَأُ بُطُونَهُمْ أَوْ قَدْ مَلَأْتُمْ بُطُونَكُمْ بِالْحَرَامِ. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam was taking his time to explain to them, to those people in Karbala, when they stopped him, telling them that if you do not know me, I am the son of Ali. I am Hayya ala Salat. I am this, I am that. I am one of the Sayyid Shabab Ahlil Jannah. After Imam Hussein alayhi salam had said all of that to them, but they never listened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That never penetrated through their minds, because what was before them was what they stood to gain by killing Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So they sold their hereafter, they sold their dignity, everything in return for material things. This type of people, then, we still have them today. They are the ones selling their dignities. And we have them today. We have the Egyptian. When I say Egyptian, I do not mean the people of Egypt. I mean the government of Egypt. We have Sisi. We have the Jordan. We have the Saudi Arabia. They are the ones today selling their dignity out of shame and normalizing relationship with America and also with Israel. But we have those with courage. And they say that we will never normalize, because they are repeating the same slogan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that Misli la yubayi or Misli Yazid. Imam Hussein said that Inna zaniya bina zaniya. We all know. Kadirakiza bayna natain. Bayna sillati wa dhilla. Wa hayhatu minna dhilla. And those people, they are still repeating the same thing today. We have them as we have the Hezbollah. We have the Ansarullah in Yemen. We have the Hamas, we have the Jamhuriyat al-Islamiyah, we have the Jabhat al-Muqawama, and they are repeating the same thing today, that our kind will never normalize relationship with the kind of America and Israel.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We've seen how relevant is the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this present time, because we would always need to return back to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And everything that Imam Hussein alayhi salam said then, when he was in Karbala, everything is relevant, because Imam Hussein alayhi salam was sending a message to those that will come after him, so that they could learn how to stand against injustice. And we've all learned today how to stand against injustice. When we see the Saudi, or we see Sisi, or the kind of the king of Jordan today, normalizing relationship with America, but helping the Zionists to commit genocide in Palestine. When we see all of this today, it will never be a surprise to us, because we've seen their likes during the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But what should we do is that we must stand as Imam Hussein alayhi salam also stood. And we must repeat the same thing as Imam Hussein alayhi salam had done. And we must also learn what caused this shamelessness that they are displaying today. It's because they have filled their tummies, their bellies with haram. So when Imam Hussein alayhi salam said that misli la yubayi or misli Yazid, we should know that it is not this physical, it is not this material body that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was addressing. Rather, he was addressing what Yazid stood for. That he, Imam Hussein, looking at what he is standing for, will never descend so low to give bay'ah to this Yazid, looking at what he also was standing for. So when we look at ourselves today, and we say that amthaluna la yubayi'una amthal al-America, we are also addressing what we stand for. We stand for wilayat. We stand for justice. We stand to defend the oppressed. So somebody like us, people like us, standing for justice, standing to defend the oppressed, standing for the wilaya, will never descend so low to give bay'ah or to normalize relationship or to even like the American or the Zionist in our minds. We will never descend so low because we are the student of the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Even though Yazid had all the armies, he had all the weapon, he had the money, but at the end of the day, in tasarat dima'u shuhada ala suyufi a'da'ihim. At the end of the day, the blood of the companions became victorious over the swords of the enemies. Even though the Americans today, they have all the dollars, and dollar, as we know, is very, very, very deadly. Dollar has this magic. It has this magic sword. Dollar has this magic to turn everything upside down. If you want to know the magic of dollar, look at what is happening today in Saudi Arabia. Look at what is happening today in the. Look at what is happening today with Sisi. Look at what is happening today in Jordan. That is part of the tricks and part of the power of dollar. Even though the Americans, they have the dollar to manipulate and to navigate through, to manipulate people like the Saudi Arabia and the Jordan and the Sisi and all of them, even though they have all the weapon to ship weapon to Palestine, for the Zionists to commit suicide against the Palestine, but we are not scared. Why are we not scared? And we are very certain that at the end of the day, victory will be for the oppressed. Because we've seen what happened in Karbala. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam, how many were they? They were just a handful of them against all the mighty of Yazid, all of his army, with all of the power, with all of the weapons. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew that even though if he should die, his blood would definitely be victorious over Yazid. And we are saying the same thing today to the Americans. We are saying the same thing today to the Zionists. Repeating the same thing to those normalizing relationship with them. That at the end of the day, our blood will be victorious over your dollars, over your weapons, and over your money, and over everything you have.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
And this we say, la raiba fihi. We do not have any doubt that definitely it must happen like that. Because even after Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we've seen the same thing repeating itself. And a very good example is this Jamhuriyat al-Islamiyya fi Iran. We've seen what this Jamhuriyah, we see what this republic is standing against, the power that this republic is standing against. And normally, not such thing wouldn't have happened. If you look at where this republic started from, and look at where America was when this republic stood against America to say justice and truth to power, nobody would have even imagined that this republic would still sustain it to this time. But not only is the republic still here, but the republic is getting stronger every day, and the enemies of the republic are getting weaker every day. And that is because the republic is obtaining its motivation and its ideologies from the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So we are saying this, extending this movement and also extending this awareness to our brothers in Palestine, to our brothers in Gaza, that they should return back to the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, if definitely and truly they want this movement to be victorious. Because every other movement that shared the same, or let me say, that shared the same ideology or ideology that is almost the same with this Jamhuriyat al-Islamiyah, where are they today? They've all gone. And this Jamhuriyah is still here. We have Ikhwan al-Muslimin. We have the Daesh. We have all of them. They all also shout that we want Islamic country, we want Islamic state. But what is the difference is that while this Jamhuriyat al-Islamiyah is tapping from the ideologies, from the teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and from Karbala, they are tapping from those that killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Hence, Imam Hussein, this Jamhuriyah is still surviving today as long as the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is relevant. And all other movements today, they've gone away. Just as the enemies, those who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam today, have all gone away. Even when we mention them because we mention Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because in a normal day, nobody will stand to sit on a podium and start discussing Yazid. When we discuss Yazid today, we mention his name. It is Bibarakat al-Hussein. If not, we wouldn't have mentioned his name. When we mentioned Harmala today, it is Bibarakat al-Hussein. If not, we wouldn't have mentioned their name. Also, we are saying the enemies of Muslim today of Wilaya, a time would come that even their names can only be mentioned by Barakat Jamhuriyat al-Islamiyyah. So a time would come that America could only be mentioned by Barakat Jamhuriyat al-Islamiyyah. Would only mention America when we mention Jamhuriyat al-Islamiyyah and the forces that the Jamhuriyat al-Islamiyyah stood against. Then we mention America. A time would come that Israel, the entity called Israel, and the Zionists would only be mentioned when we mention the people of Palestine. When we mention how the people of Palestine endured and how they stood against the oppression and the power they stood against, then we'll mention the Zionists. But apart from this, they will become irrelevant, just as all the enemies of Imam Hussein alayhi salam today are irrelevant. So this is how the blood of the Shuhada, of the Matthias, would continue to become victorious over the weapons and the monies of the enemies. So what happened in Karbala is a message that we all need today, and it is relevant. But those people that stood against Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even though Imam Hussein alayhi salam was telling them whom he was, even though they knew Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam had already taught us that he said ma jaffatil dumu illa likaswatil qulub wa ma kasatil qulub illa likasratiz dhunub, that tears will not dry except when the mind is hardened, and your mind will never become hardened except when you indulge more in the forbidden, in the unlawful. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam told these people that قَدْ مَلَأْتُمْ بُطُونَكُمْ بِحَرَامٍ, you filled your bellies with haram. So even when Imam Hussein alayhi salam introduced himself to them, that if you do not know me, I am the son of Ali, I am the son of Fatima, I am the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am that boy that used to climb on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am one of the leaders of the youth of paradise. Even though Imam Hussein alayhi salam was telling them all of this, they never heed. So you shouldn't be surprised today when the scholars, the Hausa, and the ulama and the maraji are warning the Saudi today, telling them that look at the danger of America, look at the danger of the Zionists, look at the danger of the Western civilizations, they are not hidden to all of this. You shouldn't be surprised, because even those that stood before Imam Hussein alayhi salam, knowing fully well that this is Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even though Imam Hussein alayhi salam introduced himself to them, they never hit to that. Do you know why? قَدِ مَلَأُوا بُطُونَكُمْ بِحَرَامٍ, Just as we have them today, يَمْلَأُونَ بُطُونَهُمْ بِدُولَارِ. So when they fill their bellies with all of that, they will never eat to eat. سُمُّمْ بُكُمُنْ عُمْيُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِنُونَ. They will never eat to eat. So we shouldn't be surprised. So those people then, they proceeded, even though they knew Imam Hussein, even though Imam Hussein alayhi salam had introduced himself to them, they still proceeded and killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this is to tell us that even the kuffar of Mecca are far better than those that killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Do you know why? Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wanted to do Hajj, and he was stopped by the kuffar of Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to allow him return back to Medina, they had that respect for him, for the Prophet, and they allowed them to return back to Medina. But those people that stopped Imam Hussein alayhi salam at Karbala, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam told them to allow him to turn his journey to a different place, they never allowed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this to tell you that the people of the kuffar of Mecca had more empathy and humanity than those that stopped Imam Hussein alayhi salam at Karbala and killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The same thing today. Those people that are aiding, abetting, and helping the Zionist regime to continue to commit genocide in Palestine today, the kuffar of Mecca are far better than they. Because this shows that they have zero and iota empathy and no humanity in them. What matters to them is the money. But they should know that even if they spend 1,000 years in this world, they will definitely die. And they are seeing their kinds that are dying in their wealth, but they will never heed. Because قَدْ مَلَأُوا بُطُونَهُمْ بِالْحَرَامِ. So they continue, they kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They deprive them water. Until, after they had successfully killed everybody, all of the men in Karbala, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam was on the ground in the pool of his blood, and they surrounded him, mutilating him. Then Abdullah bin Hassan, that 11 boy, the son of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he stood and watching his uncle Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his imam being mutilated, and he stood there helpless, even though he was just a boy of 11 years. He was surrounded by the lifeless body of his beloved ones without their heads. He looked around himself. He was helpless. He could hear the tears and the screaming and the wailing of the children and women. He could see the bodies, the lifeless bodies of his beloved ones without their heads. And the wailing of the women, the echo from the wailing, soared above and beyond the hot desert of Karbala to bring back distance and memories. The memories of Imam Hassan alayhi salam being poisoned to death, while Abdullah bin Hassan was also looking helplessly. He didn't have that antidote to suppress the poison that was forcefully pulling out the liver and the heart of his father. He stood there helplessly watching. The wailing of the women to bring back distance and memories of Sayyidatul Fatima alayha salam. When they pushed the door against her while she was pregnant, and that forced her to miscarriage, all of the memories started coming on. The memory of Imam Ali alayhi salam being struck with that sword while he was on his mihrab, all of the memories started coming on this little boy of 11 years, Abdullah bin Hassan. And Abdullah bin Hassan didn't want to remain standing and to remain helpless as he was helpless when his father Imam Hassan alayhi salam was poisoned to death. When that poison was forcefully pulling out the heart of his father, neither would he want to remain standing to watch helplessly as he was equally helplessly when they threw and shot arrows at the dead body of his father. Abdullah bin Hassan was just helpless, surrounded by lifeless body. He could hear the wailing of the women. He could feel the pain of Sayyidatu Zainab. And this is Sayyidatu Zainab alayhi salam. The first time she entered Kufa, she entered as a princess, accompanied by his father Imam Ali alayhi salam, respected, received, and honored and revered. But this is Sayyidatu Zainab, dear in Karbala. Humiliated, abused, oppressed, because now his father was not there. He had entered Kufa by the side of his father, but now his father, her father, was not there, oppressed. And this is Abdullah bin Hassan. He could witness all of this happening. And then he decided that it is time for him to stand to defend his life, the body of his imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Even though he knew that there was little he could do, even though he knew that he could not return life to the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because then life was slowly leaving the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But he just wanted to sacrifice his life to stop those inhumans of zero empathy from mutilating the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is all he wanted to do. Then he went out. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam saw Abdullah bin Hassan coming towards him, Imam Hussein alayhi salam shouted to Sayyidatu Zainab that ihsabihi ya ukhti. Hold him, oh my sister. Don't allow him to come over here. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not scared because Abdullah bin Hassan could die. Because people had died in Karbala. Abu Fadl Abbas had died. Ali al Asghar had died. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not scared that Abdullah bin Hassan could die, because martyrdom to the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a honor. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to protect the only bloodline of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam was sick. The possibility that he could survive it was very slim. And then the only person to maintain, to continue the bloodline of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abdullah bin Hassan. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam told Sayyidatu Zainab to hold him, not to allow him come here, so that the bloodline of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could remain. This is how bad it had become that even the bloodline of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was almost lost. And Abdullah bin Hassan, in his state of weakness, in his state, in his disadvantaged state, in his helpless state, continued to walk to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And when he was going to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he was shivering. Abdullah bin Hassan was not shivering out of fear. He was not shivering because he thought that he would be killed. Because to him, he had already seen enough of death. He had seen his cousins, his uncles, his loved ones, those he used to love with, those he used to spend time with. He had seen them being killed one after the other, furiously, and their heads sliced and cut away from their body. He had already seen enough. So he was not scared of death. Rather, he was surprised and he felt betrayed because those that supposed to protect him are the same people surrounding him with swords and arrows wanting to kill him. hesitating for who would kill him the first. So this is the reason why Abdullah bin Hassan was shivering. He was not shivering because he was scared of death, but he was shivering because he was disappointed and he felt betrayed that the same people that supposed to have protected them are the same people killing them, taking turn in killing them, depriving joy from killing them. This is the reason why Abdullah bin Hassan was shivering. And when he was walking towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he was busy reciting this poem. That wa in tanakkaru fa ana bin Haydar dirgamun ajamun wa lays kaswar ala adi. Abdullah bin Hassan, he continued until he walked to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, while Imam Hussein alayhi salam was equally also in his helpless state, shouting that hal min nasirin yansuruna, is there any help that will help today? Is there anybody to assist us today? Is there anybody to protect us today? Do you know what that means? Aina aliyun falyansurna. Where is Imam Ali alayhi salam, who used to defend the Muslimin? Where is Ali today? Where is he? Where is he to protect us? While Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in his disadvantaged state, shouting on top of his voice after he was deprived of water under that scorching sun, in that hot desert, shouting that hal min nasirin yansuruna. And this is 11 years old boy walking towards him, helpless also, reciting that in tanakkaru fa ana bin Haydar. When he walked to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he felt on the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, wanting to shade the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam from being mutilated even more. Then the accursed one called Bahr bin Ka'b removed his sword and wanted to kill Abdullah bin Hassan. Then Abdullah bin Hassan raised up his arm to protect his head from the sword, and the sword sliced his hand, and the remaining of his hand was hanging with the only little lump of flesh that was still remaining. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam held him closer to himself on the ground and said to him that be patient, because very soon you will join your noble and righteous father. Very soon you join your noble loved ones. Be patient until Harmala ibn al-Kahi al-Asad shot the arrow and killed Abdullah bin Hassan. Abdullah bin Hassan, that 11 years boy, even though he knew that there was little he could do, because the enemy had already overpowered them, they were surrounding Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but he just wanted to stop them from mutilating the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, not from killing Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but just to stop mutilating his body. And the same people that did this are the same people that claimed to protect the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is that sunnah? And this will remind us when Abu Fadl Abbas said to Shimir, when Shimir went to Abu Fadl Abbas, telling Abu Fadl Abbas that, oh Abu Fadl Abbas, oh you my niece, you do not need to die with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Leave the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and come towards us, that we will give you shelter and protection. And Abu Fadl Abbas said that, La'anallahu aman, may the curse of God be unto your protection. How would I have protection when Imam Hussein alayhi salam will not have protection? And the same thing we should say today, that anybody that promises us protection, even when America promises us protection, protection. We say that la'natullah ala amanihim. How would we have protection when the people of Gaza have no protection? How would we have protection when the Hurmatul Islam has no protection? When Masjid al-Aqsa has no protection? When Wilaya has no protection? La'natullah ala amanihim. But we all know that. وَسَتَنْتَصِرُ الدِّمَاءَ عَلَى السُّيُوبِ. That verily will become victorious against all of their might, against their money and their weapons. وَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.